All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. My name is John Rubino. It's February 6th. 2018, and I'm filling in for Jay, who's visiting a gold mine in Nevada today. He'll be back with you next week. Jay wants to thank you for listening to his show, and he also wants to thank his sponsors who make the show possible. They are RN Resources, Bonterra Resources, Novo Resources, Uranium Energy, Genesis Metals, Northern Empire Resources, New Range Gold, and Dynacore Gold Mines. The title of today's show is Beyond Gold and Silver, Preparing for Hard Times. And our guests are show regulars, Michael Oliver, Chris Martinson, and Jean Martineau. In the second segment of today's show, I'll be speaking with Chris Martinson about how to organize not just your finances, but your entire life for the crazy times that are apparently coming. But first, Michael Oliver is here to explain what the heck just happened in the stock market. Welcome, Michael.
Hi. Hi, John. Good to hear your voice. Hope you're enjoying taking over Jay's show.
Oh, so far, so good. I'm so looking forward to hearing what you think. Yeah,
because well, we were pretty ready for it. We had our Cypress rifles out, and we identified numbers just below 2,800 that said, okay, well, a dive is going to begin. The question is whether, like so many other dives in the last several years, this one would snag something bigger. It would set off a landmine, not just tease people for 3 days. It did. We looked at the DAX index in Europe, FTSE in London, the Euro Stoxx 50 index, which is a broad European index, all blue chips, the S&P 500, NASDAQ 100. And except for the NASDAQ 100, which traded below a number today that would trigger it if it could close a week below it. But all the others blew out our numbers. Meaning they didn't just trigger the short-term stuff in the S&P just below 2,800, which seems light years above us now, but they blew out quarterly momentum structures. Now, when we measure quarterly momentum, we're dealing with a long-term metric, not something that's short-term. When it breaks, it generally will last for 3 to 5 quarters at least in the new direction. And we triggered those numbers in the S&P today, big time in Europe. And so in my mind, this drop is qualitatively different from any drop we've had in the last several years, particularly the last 2 years since the 2016 low. So don't treat this as a buying opportunity. Rallies are for selling at this point going forward. I think the main factor that's underway here isn't just, you know, S&P. I think the S&P, the stock market, in effect, is a... pardon me, it's a sidelined asset category from the core of the world. The core assets of the world are the undervalued commodity asset category, which has been rising in certain aspects over the last few years, gold, oil, for example, copper, and is about to rise much more sharply this year, particularly with the grains. Very beat-up asset category. It's been around forever, you know. it's now exchange-traded. Then there's the debt category. And I'm speaking of government debt, and that's huge. We're talking about U.S., German debt, European debt especially. They have broken not just minor structures, not just some yield chart. I've blown out annual momentum floors. And this began actually in October of 2016 and picked up speed with last month's close. So in our view, that category is headed for much higher yields, much lower prices. To give you an idea, the long bond is likely, the 30-year is likely to go to 4.25%, and right now it's probably around 3%. That is a wave maker. Even if you don't want to participate in the short side of that market, it's going to make waves elsewhere. And I think one of the waves it's going to make, we've already seen, and that is the bringing down of the stock asset category, which in the case of the developed markets is exceptionally aged, historically speaking, and vastly overpriced by any metric. And also technically from our perspective, and that's what we look at, and I don't mean price charts, I'm talking momentum studies, it is broken. It is beginning to break big stuff. Therefore, we think down. And I think that what's going on here that would benefit, for example, gold and the commodity asset category is the investor. As a human being, things feel good, things don't feel good. Stocks have felt good. So it's like biofeedback, a nice soothing back rub. When it doesn't feel good, and there's other things out there that feel better or perhaps good, investors begin to shift their portfolios. You know, they get a little itchy, and they tell their broker, let's cut 10% of our stock portfolio, whatever. Let's buy a little gold. I think this has already been going on, and I think the events of the last week or so in the bond market and the stock market will help speed this process up. And so I think it's going to benefit gold. I think it's going to benefit a lot of commodities, broadly speaking. And I think there's a big shift underway, period.
Okay. To go back to the stock market for a second, I think everybody who watched the movie The Big Short wants to experience that for themselves. In other words, they want to bet against a bubble and mm-hmm. make a lot of money when they turn out to be right when the bubble bursts.
Right.
If you had to pick two or three things that somebody could bet against this week and have a decent chance of winning with a Big Short bet,
right.
What would they be?
Well, actually, you just missed it, okay? For this week, we said if you touch 2790 on the S&P, and I even sent out, normally we send out a report with charts and even a nice banner and, you know, a respectful-looking thing, but I sent out a bulletin email, and I said if you touch 2790, we're gone. You know, this thing's going down. Well, we dropped into the 2500s today, so I would say that chance of something to do this week, you missed it. That's not the issue. I think the issue is if you're going to short stocks, you better have deep pockets, you better not use a lot of leverage right now, and you better not respect the rallies. Don't be fearful of the rallies. Let them happen. They will happen. I'm not sure, frankly, at this point in time, over the next 6 months, the biggest trade is short stocks. It might be. I don't think so. I tend to think the biggest trade over the next 6 months is long corn, soybeans, and wheat in terms of percent gain rapidly accrued. They have far more explosive upside potential, and soybeans have already signaled that corn is pushing at it. And if you get a full chorus there in the grains, they could go up 30 to 40% in a matter of a handful of months. And I don't think the S&P is going to go down 30, 40% in a handful of months.
Okay.
It might.
What's driving the bull market in
now,
grains?
Also, on the stock side, we've argued the following for the last year. We love stocks, emerging market stocks. Why? They're commodity-related, and they've been beat up. They've been beat up from 2011 through 2016. They went down. They weren't supported by artificial pricing by central banks. Only the developed markets were. We liked being long EEM, which is an ETF of the emerging markets. And if you want to, and this is a grand idea now, I think, going forward for the next few years, short an equivalent amount of S&P. So you own EEM, you own the developed market, you short the developed markets, particularly the S&P or equivalents thereof, and long EEM on the other side, a, quote, global market neutral position. Today, for example, the EEM is up 2.9%, while the S&P a while ago was down on the day. So on a spread basis, just in one day, you're up a couple percent and nothing's going on, right? So I think that spread is likely to continue to move in that direction, favoring emerging markets, which are commodity-linked, and disfavoring the overbought developed markets, especially U.S. markets. So I think if you're going to go into the stock market, if I had to suggest a way, it's to be spread, one against the other, 50-50. In the other asset categories, maybe short bonds if you want, although their percent drop won't be a serious though they will be significant in terms of wave effect, it won't be as percent-wise serious as, for example, the uprising in corn, soybeans, and wheat, or the potential further gains in gold. So I would break my portfolio into three things: long commodities, gold, grains, at the appropriate time, and the grains in our reports deal with that issue. Spread the stock market against the U.S., favoring emerging. And if you have a debt position, you know, some kind of a long-term debt instrument that's a negative or an inverse ETF of long government rates. And I think okay. that three-part portfolio will work out well over the next year or two.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Michael. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately.
Okay.
So got to hop. It's time for a commercial, but don't go away because we'll be right back with Chris Martinson.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Orin Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Orin is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll-free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.